What's up, Rock Church? Good to see you, everybody. And it feels good to be in the house of the Lord today. Y'all excited to be at church? A little bit. Yeah, a few of you. Listen, y'all got more sleep than the last service, so you should be like, yeah, I'm ready, Jesus. Good to be with you. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that serves on the leadership team here at The Rock, and I have what I think is a challenging word for you, but I've been told that I have a gift to hit people in the stomach, but like it was with a pillow. So it's kind of pow, right in the stomach. So all right, it's going to be a good word today. Before we do anything else, again, if you're just joining us, I want to say hello to all of our campuses. So shout out to Oahu, San Marcos, Chula Vista, City Heights, El Cajon, right here in Point Loma where I'm standing, and everybody joining us online. Come on, greet your family one more time. Say hello. Glad you're with us. And shout out to a new friend I met this past week. Shout out to Josh and his son, Jordan, if you're here. God bless you. Glad you're here. Love you, fellas. Appreciate you. Come on now. All the Joshes are like, yeah. Awesome. Yesterday was my wife's birthday, and she is sitting right over there. And so I just want to wish her a happy, you're 27 again. Oh, I can't believe it. 27 again. So happy birthday to my wife. Look at some flowers we got you. Come on somebody. Some flowers for my wife. I love you. We've known each other for 17 years, and every year gets better and better. And if it's harder, it's probably because of me. You are the most selfless person I know, and you give your life away to the church, to me, the kids, and I pray that this next year is the best year ever. So I love you. God bless you. Kisses. October is like a whole birthday month, though. In fact, it is the Point Loma campus pastor's birthday. A couple days ago, Pastor Ty and his wife, Nadej. Come on, clap your hands, all the campuses. Our executive pastor and his wife, their birthdays this week and next week. So just a lot going on, so shout out to them as well. Lots of birthdays, but did anybody feel like October has just been busy? Yeah, it's just like, man, I just thought it's supposed to be pumpkin spice and just chilling with sweaters. It's just the weather's weird, confusing. I got a parka in the morning. I got shorts at night. I'm sweaty. It's busy. And so I like that we can come to church today and maybe just kind of slow down for a little bit and just receive from the Lord. But I want to celebrate some things that happened in October. Just a few weeks ago, we had our first floodgate citywide worship event in 5 years. Can we just thank the Lord and give God praise? If he made it to Floodgate, don't miss the next one. And then also we had this all-day ministry called Encounter last weekend. It was our largest Encounter one day of all time. Come on. Just a day of freedom, helping people get unstuck and breaking strongholds and chains from the past, a day of forgiveness and celebration worship. We have one coming up for Oahu, so reason to go to church in Oahu. We got a team of 14, and they're just bearing the cross to Oahu, and they're going to pull off an Encounter ministry on November 9th on Saturday. So Rock Church Oahu, make it to Saturday and go to church the next day. It's going to be great. And then last Sunday, we had just around 100 people get water baptized saying, I'm not going back. I'm a new creation in Christ, and I want the whole world, my friends and family, to know it. Let's just thank the Lord, and let's thank Jesus for all he's doing in and through our church. Awesome. We're taking a break from our series. We normally do 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in a row on different messaging. We just finished up Kingdom Conflict. I don't know if you enjoyed Kingdom Conflict, Pastor Miles. So yeah, clap your hands. It was great. 2 weeks through, red or blue, what would Jesus do? What am I supposed to vote? And if you missed those messages as we're leading up to the election, go on YouTube, grab those. I promise it'll challenge you and encourage you as you make your decision and listen to the Lord. Next weekend, Pastor Miles will be back and starting another new series entitled Heart for Your House. And years past, we've done Heart for the House, and we kind of unpack, here's the vision that we believe God has given the Rock Church. We'd love for you to be a part of moving that vision forward, but this past week, our leadership team got together in prayer and worship and said, Lord, what do you want for our people, for our church? We felt like he moved that title and moved that whole series and said, no, it's going to be Heart for Your House. And God has some things that he wants to do in your life, and God has some vision and hopes and dreams that he wants to download for you. And so that starts next Sunday. Today, I'm going to be unpacking a message out of 1 Samuel that I think is an on-time word, a rhema word. It's just on time for right now. And so I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and pray with me. I got my little throat coat elixir. So if I start choking, my throat, my voice is kind of going out. If I start coughing, y'all just talk amongst yourselves and I'll be back. So figure it out. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. This is your day. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. We thank you for gathering us across San Diego and Oahu and online, all of our locations, one heart as one house, one church across many locations. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak through me. Lord, hold my voice, make it strong. I pray that your words would be spoken to convict and compel people towards Jesus. That's our prayer. In his name we pray. Someone shout amen. 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 My daughter, Anaya, her birthday is in 3 days. Her birthday is on Wednesday. So you can do the math. That's October 30th. And I remember when Vanessa was pregnant with our daughter, and you go to the OBGYN, and the doctor gives you this prediction of your due date. And I remember when they threw out October 29th, I was like, ooh, Lord, it's kind of close to Halloween. Kind of close, Lord. Kind of close. And I don't know about you or where you land, but Halloween is probably only second to politics as one of the most controversial issues for Christians. It's like, who are you going to vote for? And then are you trick-or-treating or not? I want to know. Giving out candy? What are you doing? And so 29th, I'm like, Lord, it's kind of close. And then here comes the day as we're drawing closer. And it's like 11 p.m. on the 29th. And now it's the 30th. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I just don't want to be the pastor that has to throw parties until she's 21 every year on Halloween. I don't want to have that conversation. Had all these images in my mind and just, I don't want to do it, Lord. And praise God, she came on the 30th and we celebrate. And even if she was on the 31st, it would have been great. No big deal. But what do you do with Halloween? Because I already know there's somebody at one of our campuses, you already went online and your naughty nurse fit is on its way. It's on its way. And you are saved and sanctified today, but Thursday you cannot wait to be a sinner. I'm just so excited. The naughty nurse, I'm taking everybody's temperature. Yes. Who needs mouth to mouth? Uh-oh. Gross. Gross. Girl, you need more church. You need Jesus. What do we do with Halloween as Christians? What do we do with bachelor parties as Christians? What do we do with bachelorette parties? What do we do with New Year's and all the parties and the drinking? And should Christians be Raiders fans? Stuff like that, you know what I mean? Oh, bang, bang, what? Oh man, got him. No, it's good. Listen, no, it's a joke. It's because they're in Vegas now. They're in Vegas. Vegas is wild. I have some friends that pastor churches in Vegas, and it's incredible. It's awesome. But you go on the Las Vegas Strip, and it's, man, you know the commercials, right? The marketing is what happens in Vegas. Stays in Vegas. No, it doesn't. Instagram is undefeated. I'm telling you, man. No, it doesn't. It doesn't stay there. It follows you home, and it's on your account and lives there, and all your friends know about it. Yeah, it doesn't happen. No, and the marketing, though, is saying, hey, leave your morals at home. Come here and live a ratchet life. Leave your faith, leave your church, leave Jesus, leave your Bible at home, and you can come here and you can live and look like the world. What do we do with these things? And so I think, by the way, it's not just Vegas. I'm not trying to just harp on the one little area, because really the Vegas Strip is just a more concentrated, unfiltered version of what's happening all across culture. Am I lying? It's everywhere. And so I think the question that we have to ask and then answer and decide is, when you live in culture, are you going to shape the culture, or when you walk in the culture and around the culture you're living, is the culture going to shape you? Am I shaping the culture around me, or is the culture around me that I'm living in shaping me? Another way of saying it is, are you going to be a thermostat or a thermometer? Who's changing the temperature in the room when you walk in? I don't have my phone on me, but I have the Nest app that's kind of a Bluetooth digital thermostat. I can change the temperature in my house from wherever I'm at, but I know that when people come and they visit me, they're just a thermometer. All they can do is just tell me whether they're hot or cold. They come into my house, it's my house, I'm the thermostat. I control the dials. So they can come over, and I love all of them, but Travis is kind of hot. God bless you, my wife loves it. She loves it. Or they can tell me, ooh, kind of cold, don't you think? I like it cold. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. I'm the thermostat. They're the thermometer. All they can do is say, hey, I'm in this environment. This is what it feels like. But as the thermostat, I can change it however I want it, and I will not change it just because you walked into my culture and my house and my life. I control it. I'm the thermostat. I'm not the thermometer. I don't compromise who I am because you're here. Today, I want to talk about living an uncompromised faith in a world of compromise. And I want to speak to you from the message title, I will not, say it with me, compromise. I will not compromise. And I love that title when I was thinking this and writing this because I think that's the tension that we're living in. We're living in a world, if you're a follower of Jesus at least, where I'm in the world, but I'm being called to live above it. I'm in and around the culture, but Jesus' word and God invites me to live outside of it. And that is the tension. And so in a few days, go back to my example of Halloween. Every believer, look up here, all the campuses, every believer is gonna have to make a decision. Will I reject it, will I accept it, or will I redeem it? And it's not just Halloween, it's everything that the world offers you. But what does that mean? Well, I'm gonna reject it. So you're gonna be the house where there's no lights on, no candy, no fun. We're not doing that. It's for the devil. And you may be better off for it. Just reject it completely. That's fine, God bless you. Or you may say, you know what, I'm gonna try to redeem it, and we're gonna be the house that gives out the biggest candy bars, and we're gonna have worship and Hillsong, and it's all gonna be in the background. Oceans is playing in the background, and I'm giving out peanut butter cups and prayer. Everyone's getting laid out of my house. Prayer, I didn't come for this, I just came for Skittles. You're getting prayer tonight, and I'm inviting you to the Rock Church. That may be you, I don't know. You're gonna try to redeem it, maybe. But here's what I know for sure, don't accept it. You can reject it, accept it, or redeem it. But whatever the world tries to offer you in the world's ways, in the world's wisdom, in the world's fashion, don't accept it at face value because that's where the compromise is. And I want to read a story to you today out of 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles with you, it's in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And we'll put it up on the screen if you're new, if you don't have your word with you. But 1 Samuel 28, it's a story of a man named Saul. He was the king. He was appointed by God. He was anointed by God. He was the first king of Israel. The scriptures tell us that he was handsome. He was a head above the rest. He was tall. He was one of those guys that when he walked in the room, he just owned the whole room. He was one of those guys. And God was with him and God was for him and God blessed him until he didn't. Because Saul slowly started to compromise his faith and slowly started to compromise his blessing and started to compromise his life. And that's how the story goes. I want to read it to you. It is in 1 Samuel 28. I'm going to read verses 3 through 19. I'll stop a few times, but here's what it says. Now Samuel was dead. He was the prophet. And all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and the spiritists from the land. So what is that? That's the dark fortune teller. That's the psychic. That's the forbidden dark magic of the time. And by the way, that's not just for their time. That happens today. And God's word earlier would tell him, hey, anything that looks like that is an abomination. I don't want to have anything to do with that, nor you. And so Saul earlier listened and he expels them and says, no more mediums, no more spiritists from the land. In verse 4, the Philistines, though, assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. Maybe just note that this wasn't the first time that Saul had fought the Philistines, and this wouldn't be the first time that he was filled with terror or afraid or scared. And he should know before, because God had conquered the Philistines before, that God, what he's done in the past, can do again. But he's filled with terror still. And he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There's one in Endor, they said. So Saul disguised himself. Uh-oh, there's a double life. I wonder if you came to church today and you've been living a double life. You physically, spiritually, are different here today than the rest of the days of the week. That's what happened to Saul. He had to change his outer appearance and his outer expression just to go the places where he shouldn't be going. He disguises himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?" And Saul swore to her by the Lord. That's just not a good idea, by the way. I wouldn't encourage you to swear by the Lord's name or to swear by the Lord in general. And some of scripture is just descriptive, meaning this is just describing what happened. It's not prescriptive, saying this is what you should do. And so this is just what happens. Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said, "Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure." See, I told you it's Halloween. "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth. What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and he prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I'm in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me." "Yeah, I know, Saul, because you've compromised and you've compromised, and now you're compromising again. He no longer answers me either by prophets or by dreams, so I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow," when? "Tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me." Uh-oh, it's right. He's gonna die tomorrow. And the story goes, you keep reading, the Philistine army comes and is pushing back and defeating the Israelite army and the king. And he's hiding, and so he takes his own sword and falls on his own sword and his sons. And so Saul was chosen by God, he's anointed by God until he compromises his faith, then becomes an enemy of the Lord. And in a time and season where he needs to hear from the Lord the most, he can't. Why? Because he compromised. He compromised. He made a decision that wasn't honoring to the Lord, and because he compromised, it leads to his death and destruction. And look up here, your compromise can lead to your spiritual death and your spiritual destruction. That's the story. I will not compromise. There's three things that I think I can pull out of this story in 1 Samuel 28, three things that we should resist doing. And if you're a note taker, write this down. Number one, resist the temptation to compromise God's word. Resist the temptation to compromise God's word. And so if you're emotionally or spiritually or maybe even physically, you feel like your life is imploding or exploding and things are out of control, can I just encourage you? It may not be because you don't know enough of God's word. It might be because you haven't lived an obedient life to the word that you already know. I've compromised the word that I already have been told. I'm just waiting for a revelation. I just need a revelation. You haven't listened to the one revelation that you've already been given. That's what happens with Saul. He knew God's word. He just didn't listen to God's word. He's compromised God's word. I have this group of guys, about six guys that I'm discipling, and we named the group the 252 crew. And it's based out of Luke 2:52, which says, "And Jesus grew in stature and wisdom and with favor in God and man." And so this is a time that I'm trying to invest in them and say, "Hey, listen, guys, we're gonna grow you. We're gonna get you some more wisdom. I want you to grow in favor with God and with man." And one of the key principles that we're working on in their discipleship journey is spending time in God's word. Spend time in God's presence an hour a day and get in God's word daily. And without me asking, they started sending these. I wanna show it to you. This is a screenshot of our text thread. Every day they started sending the words "done," green check mark. Green check mark with the Bible emoji next to it. Green check mark, green check mark, double green check mark. I got double word today. Green check mark. And if you looked at my whole text thread, by the way, see the little a picture at the top. That's buff Jesus. It says, hallowed be thy gains. That's the buff Jesus, okay? So he's growing in stature and in wisdom and favor with God and man. But if you were to scroll through my entire text thread with these guys that I'm spending time with on Monday nights, it's not a whole lot of how are you doing. It's not a whole lot of like, hey, let's what are we eating later on tonight? No, it's just green check marks all throughout every day. Seven green check. I was in God's word. Why? Because God's word brings life to my day. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. And so I'm not just in God's word for God's word's sake to memorize scripture just so I could say it and look holy, because I know a whole lot of people that know God's word, but you're still mean. Like, you know a ton of verses, you know more verses than anybody you know, but you're just rude. You're a liar. You're selfish. And so it's not read God's word for reading's sake, it's read God's word so that it gets in my heart and penetrates my whole being. It brings life to my body. I recently found out about this group, and I was talking to somebody about a verse or an area in scripture, just kind of challenging them to live above the life they were leading. And they said, well, I don't read that part of the Bible. And I said, well, what part do you read? They said, well, I only read the letters in red. Maybe you've heard of this. It's called Red Letter Christians, which is it's a stretch for me. I don't even know if that's a Christian. I don't want to go there, but I mean, that's rough. If you're only living according to, if you go in your New Testament, the second half of the Bible, in the Gospels, there are actual letters written in red, and this is the actual recorded words of Jesus in conversation. And so this person was saying, well, if it's not in the red letters, I don't have to obey it. If it's not in the red letters, I don't actually have to live it out. And I was like, whoa, watch out. You almost got hit by lightning. I didn't want to be there when you got hit. wait a minute. That's not a thing. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And a few verses later it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so this entire Bible, this whole thing is from Jesus, and this whole thing that's from Jesus is actually a revelation and word and all the words of Jesus. And so I don't get to pick and choose. I'm not going, well, I'm gonna do these ones today, and then and next week I'll do some of these. No, I take the entire word of God, and I read it for myself, and I take God's word to heart so that God can then penetrate everything inside me. All of it, all of it, all of God's word is helpful, beneficial for teaching, correction. I will not compromise God's word. Here's the second thing that we get from the story. Resist the temptation to compromise God's people. San Marcos, maybe this is for you. Maybe there's somebody in El Cajon. Resist the temptation to compromise God's people. Having the right person with you or next to you, or having the right people around you, may be the difference between life and death, because that was the case for Saul. And maybe this is gonna land for somebody today, because you already know the circle you've been running in isn't the circle that God wants you to run with. And having the right person with you or next to you or the right people around you may be the difference between spiritual life or death for your marriage. It may be the difference between life or death for your future career or that business or the young person that's thinking about this school or that school or this group or that sorority, and picking the right person or right people may be the difference between life or death in God's plan for your life. I will not compromise God's people. In 1 Samuel 28, verse 7, it says, so Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There's one in Endor, they said. And so who are the attendants? Those are his generals. Those are his officials. It's his council, maybe his closest friends. And so he says to his friends, his generals, they're leading the people of God with him. They're ruling and reigning, and he goes, hey, where can I find a medium? And they go, oh, yeah, there's one in Endor. Okay, bro, so you just know where all the weed is at? You just know all the spots? Like, so you've been living the compromised life, and now you're in my circle, and the second I ask you where to sin, you know how to sin and where to sin? I'm telling you, having the right people or person is the difference between life or death, but I don't want to compromise God's people. Nobody loved him enough to stop him, and nobody loved him enough to point him back to God. In Proverbs 13, 20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, but associate with fools and get in trouble. Another translation says, associate with fools and become stupid. I walk with the wise, I become wise, praise God, hallelujah. But I associate with fools and I get myself in trouble. I recently became a member of the 5 a.m. club, 5 a.m. club. Shout out all the early people. Come on, clap your hands for all the early people. The I get up before you get up and I feel better than you and I look down on everybody else that sleeps in. That's not it. But the 5 a.m. club, I've been working out since I was 15 years old. I'm 40 years old, 25 years. That's a long time, in the afternoon or the evenings, for a long time. But I'm at this stage of life where we got kids and there's like homework and man, shout out to all the teachers in the house and the homework packets. By the way, if we could just send kids home with no homework, that'd be awesome, by the way. Just kind of just putting that one out there. I don't know, because I'm doing homework now. I wasn't good at homework before. I'm still not good at homework. I'm just telling you, this is tripping out, man. Homework packets, long division, multiplication, fractions, decimals. I don't even know. Trying to be a morning person so I can give that afternoon time to my kids and to my wife and my family. I just couldn't do it. It's been a struggle. It's been a struggle. I'm great at night, go late, until a few of my buddies who are close to me started getting up and going to the gym before me. And they lovingly started to harass me with memes. That's how you're supposed to love your friends, with appropriate, you know, offensive memes. And so they would send these memes to me and they send me text messages and pictures of them right here by the water cooler holding weights. Sending them to me, reminding me that, hey, we're here, you're not. And so finally I did it. I made the decision. And so I'm 3 weeks in. I'm up at 4:35, out at 4:45, at the gym by 5. Go ahead and clap your hands. Come on, I receive it. Here it is. Hey. I'm 3 weeks in. Come on, somebody. I'm home by 5:55 so I can give that time to Vanessa in the morning and help prep the best I can before we have to leave the house at 7 to get the kids at school. By 7:50, it's an hour drive from where we are to school. And then in the evenings, I can help them out with homework and help my wife do errands. Why? Why did I do that? Because you walk with the wise, you become wise. Having the right people or the right person next to you could be the difference between your future life or your future death. I will not compromise God's people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What does that mean, unequally yoked? What's a yoke? A yoke is a farm instrument tool. It's a wooden beam that they would put on the back of an ox or an animal, livestock, and they would take two livestock and put the beam on their neck and attach them together, and they would send them on their way to plow the field. Well, the problem is, if you had one strong ox and one weaker ox, they wouldn't plow straight. They would become unequally yoked, and the strong one doesn't drag the weak one straight. The weak one pulls the strong one in a circle. And because we're unequally yoked, I'm compromising my future direction, and now I'm walking in circles. By the way, Pastor Mickey told me at the last service that Einstein's definition of insanity, he reminded me, is doing the same thing over and over again, walking in circles, expecting to get a different result. And so if you don't like the result you've been getting, you may be unequally yoked to a person that's leading you in circles and leading you to death. I got too much at stake. I got way too much at stake. But have you compromised? Have you done what Saul has done and yoked himself to the wrong attendants, the wrong friends, the wrong people? And so you may need to rethink some of your relationships. I'm gonna jam you up a little bit. You may need to rethink some of the circles that you run, and you may need to rethink maybe the job. I don't know. Maybe it's the place that you go to. And this is, here it is. You may need to rethink the person that you're dating.
And your best friend.
And the best friends. Whoever. You got Toxica, she lives with you? I don't know. I'm just saying, there's somebody, like, you may be with the wrong person. And you're, oh, I'm just gonna lead him to God. I'm just gonna come to the church. And you're just like, oh, he's so handsome. He's just so kind. He's got a good heart. Listen, let him go find Jesus first. Yes. Don't yoke yourself unequally. You have compromised the people that God wants for you. So let them find Jesus. I've heard that the most important decision you make is a decision to follow Jesus, Chula Vista. The second most important decision is who you decide to yoke yourself with for the rest of your life, your spouse. Because that can take you here or there or walking in circles. I will not compromise God's people. Here's the third thing, the last thing, and I got some stories I want to tell you. It's going to get good. Hang on. Number three, resist the temptation to compromise God's faithfulness. Resist the temptation to compromise God's faithfulness. And so don't put your hope, don't put your faith, don't put your trust, don't put your praise in anything that can't deliver God's results. That's called idolatry. Anything that you run to hoping and believing for God's results that isn't God in place of God is an idol. That's what Saul does. Saul does this in 1 Samuel. In verse 15, it says, Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And he says, I'm in great distress. I'm fearful. I'm in a bad situation. My life is falling apart. And Saul said, the Philistines are fighting against me and God has departed from me. Of course he has. Of course. And it may not be that he doesn't want to be there with you, but you have rejected him over and over and over and over. And it says, he no longer answers me either by prophets or by dreams, so I have called on you to tell me what to do. I can't hear God. You can't hear God because you've been desensitized to the power and the word of the Holy Spirit. I can't hear God. Why? Because I've just become numb to him by my sin and my compromised life. And so God's not answering me, apparently. And so now I'm choosing and running to other things. My life is falling apart. And so what am I running to? I don't know. I guess I'll just run to work. And I'll work, 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 work. Work, 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 work. I had to do it. It was too easy. It was right there. I didn't plan that. It just happened right there. And I'm just going to make money. And if I can make enough money, it'll take away the pain. If I can make enough money, he'll stick around. If I can make enough money, I'll fix all my problems. I'll just buy things. I'll just get all the pleasures of my life. My world's falling apart. You know what I'm gonna do? I know God's been faithful in the past and he's got me through hard times before and I'm waiting on a spouse, but I'm kind of getting tired of waiting on God. You know what I'm just gonna start dating whoever. And I'm gonna compromise and settle for God's best and the man of God that he has for me. And I'm just gonna give myself away to whoever. At least I can get a little bit of pleasure. I'm just gonna live a promiscuous life and have sex with whoever and anybody. Or I'm just gonna go and get the substance or the alcohol. I'm gonna just lash out. And you know what? I'm frustrated. They're getting it too. And now I've compromised my life. I'm looking for God's results, God's comfort, God's peace, God's breakthrough, but without God. I'm looking to everything else that he's supposed to offer, but not in him. When I was seventh grade till I graduated high school, I went to an all-boys Catholic school. Any Catholic school people at Rock Church today? A few of us? Okay, good. God bless you. Good to see you. Glad you're here. They would do summer reading. Summer reading. I don't know if anybody had summer reading. It was a college prep school, and the first I ever heard of this at seventh grade, they gave us three books to read over the summer. Now, I didn't like reading before that, and so I definitely didn't like reading after that. And not the books they gave us. And so I show up on the first day of seventh grade, and unbeknownst to me, they have a summer reading, look up here, test on the first day. And that's how we're gonna do at Catholic school? That's what we're gonna do? Summer reading test. I thought it was just recommended, like this may be good for you, something to do while you're out on vacation, as you're out in the boat, so you know, whatever. Just, no, there's a test on the first day. So year two, I was, okay, fool me once, shame on them. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm coming ready. And so year two, they don't have this anymore, or maybe they do, but back then you couldn't just Google answer. I couldn't just chat GPT the book. Alexa, tell me what this is all about. You couldn't do that. Shout out all the old people in the room. You had to go get Cliff's Notes. Come on, somebody. Come on, Cliff's Notes. Come on. There's the millennials. There they are right there. Cliff's Notes. Gen Z doesn't know anything about Cliff's Notes. It just came in a little paper packet. It was like doing drug deals at school because you couldn't just go buy it. It was like, who's got the Cliff's Notes? You got it? Meet me in the bathroom later. Just rip it out. I'm gonna print it. I'll bring it back. And we would just exchange Cliff's Notes because Cliff's Notes was the book summary. I figured it out. Cheat code, Cliff's Notes. I showed up in eighth grade, first day of school. And I get in, all studied up on Cliff's Notes. And the teacher says, guess what? I too have read Cliff's Notes. And none of Cliff's Notes will be on this test. Well, dang. Sold me out. I didn't do good on that test. I learned how to read these books. What was I doing? I was looking for the right results in the wrong source. In the same way that we go about our lives looking for God's results, but without God. Compromise. Psalm 56, verse 3, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? No, nothing. I've put my trust in him. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 through 8, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I know that times are rough right now, but that's okay because I put my hope in Jesus. I may be going through something with my spouse and divorce is on the table, but it's okay because I have put my trust in Almighty God. I know that my kids aren't coming home and they're out there doing a bunch of stuff and they're messing around with drugs and violence and different things and one of them went to jail, but it's okay because I got my life in the hands of Jesus. I'm not afraid of the storm and I'm not afraid of the heat because I will put my trust in God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is my strength when I am weak. He is my hope when I feel hopeless. He is my joy when I don't have joy. He is my peace in the midst of the chaos. He is all that I need because I will put my trust in the Lord. I will not compromise. I will not compromise God's word. I will not compromise God's people. I will not compromise God's faithfulness. He has come through before, he will come through again. Again. In verse 6, there's a line there. You got it? There it is. It says, he inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams, by Urim, or by prophets. And so you can just read this whole story and it's enough already. But I think that the left hook in this message is that word Urim, because the Urim is this, and it's associated with a Thummim. If you can put up that picture of the high priest. He says that the Lord wasn't answering him through the prophet who would speak a prophetic word and call people towards God. The priest wasn't around with the Urim and the Thummim, because the high priest would represent God to the people and he would represent people to God. And on the chest is called an ephod that the high priest would wear. And the 12 stones represent each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And behind that would be a little pouch that would hold a Urim, a white stone, and a Thummim, a black stone. And so when they're trying to hear from the Lord, there's no dreams and the prophet is speaking, they would take the Urim and the Thummim and they present it before the Lord and say, Lord, what direction should we go? And the black would represent no, and the white would represent yes. And Saul is saying that this wasn't there, I wasn't available, I couldn't access it. But you fast forward to Revelation and Jesus is there and he's writing these letters to churches just like this one, just like the one in El Cajon, just like Rock Church Oahu. And while there wasn't a prophet, there wasn't a priest, and the king has compromised, Jesus is our perfect priest, our perfect prophet, and the perfect king. And he's writing to these churches, and he says, hey, church in Pergamum, that's the name in Revelation chapter 2. He says, I know you've been persecuted. I know you live in a crazy world. I know it is full of compromise, but you have been faithful. And he gives them a white stone, and he presents that white stone like the one you got when you came in today, and he gives them this white stone with a new name that only they know, and the white stone represents yes. I came to church today to tell somebody that God has placed a yes on your life. He says, I got a hope for you. I got a future for you. I got a plan for you. I got something so good. It is far beyond what you could ask, think, or imagine. But look up here. I didn't come to live the life in your place, says the Lord. He sends Jesus to live in our place so that you can go and compromise your world. I've called you to be faithful. It starts by putting your hope in Jesus, the perfect prophet, the perfect priest, and the perfect king. And he said, there's a yes on your name. So refuse to compromise in this crazy world. Go live an uncompromised faith. Surrender those areas that you are hiding and surrender those things that you feel like no one knows and give up those secret addictions and those secret sins. Jesus died for all of it. He can take it and forgive it. Replace it with the Spirit. Replace it with joy. Replace it with new hope, new future. I will not compromise. Why don't you bow your head? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you today for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for this day. Thank you for Rock Church. There's somebody here today, Lord, that needs to lay down the areas that they've compromised, and they need to pick up the free gift of salvation, forgiveness of sin, and declare and believe and receive the yes that's on their life today. And so if that's you today, you need to pray that prayer. I want you to pray this in the privacy and the quiet of your own heart. You can just repeat these words after me and say, Dear God, I admit that I've sinned and I admit that I've failed. I admit that I've wandered away, but today I'm coming home. I need a new life. I want a new family, a spiritual family. And I believe, Jesus, that you died for me. I believe that you love me. And I believe because you paid for my sin on the cross, you have the power to forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Today, I declare you as Lord of my life. Take over, and Spirit of God, fill me and make me brand new. I love you. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed at all of our locations, if you prayed that prayer or a prayer like it to step into a relationship with Jesus, coming back to Jesus saying, yes, God has placed a yes on my life. I want you to lift your hand on the count of three at all locations. I would love to pray for you and see you. Just speak a blessing on your life. On the count of three, shoot your hand up nice and high. One, two, three. Put your hand up. You prayed that prayer? Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all across the room, other locations. Your pastor is there with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let somebody know online. Put it in the chat. Put your hand down. Lord, thank you for every life today, Lord, that is stepping into a yes life, a forgiven life, a free life, the most purpose-filled life that is because of you, Jesus, and your love for us. Thank you, God, that you loved us so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to live the life that we should have lived. You died the death that we should have died as the perfect ransom. And as the perfect proof of life after death, you rose on the third day, Lord Jesus. And thank you that we can repent and we can receive. Thank you that so many said, yes, I'm ready today. And so I speak a blessing over them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,